Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Thank you for joining us. It's 8 o'clock in the morning here on the West Coast. Today is March 30th and time rolls on. I want to thank you for joining us and thank you for sharing our show with your friends and family. You do need to remind them to go to the internet, type in www.ucy.tv/AOF. They can find my live show every morning from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. or listen to our podcasts. We generally give titles to each guest that we're interviewing. We've had some really dynamic interviews lately, and I hope you do go back and listen to the podcasts. This morning, we have with us a returning guest who has not been with us for a while. He's been actively busy out there making some changes in the world. He is a man that I met in my research through St. Louis. His name is Scotty from Scotty's Contracting. Scotty, thanks for joining us. I'm going to get right into this because we have less than an hour. I wanted to thank you for joining us again.
Thank you guys for having me again. I'm more than happy to share and let everybody know that the thing I developed years ago, the government was doing it behind my back, and they lied to me and said that I didn't know what I was doing. And then they come out with a little, they said, yes, this will work, which I knew all along.
Well, let's talk about what you do. You do basically bioremediation, and you've advanced that with electromagnetic energy, correct?
It's called electrokinetics.
Okay.
What this does, what electrokinetics does, is it puts like a low voltage shock through the ground. Similar to when people used to shock the ground to collect earthworms. If you know what I'm talking about?
Not really. I'm from California, so I've not really done much farming in my life.
Here in the Midwest, you can take, they used to take the old hand crank radio or the hand crank phones that the Army had, and plug them into the ground and spin them, and it drives the earthworms to the surface. Then you just go out there and you scoop them up.
Wow.
But it's similar to that.
Okay. So that electricity in the earth, that change in electricity makes the creatures and makes energy move underground that we don't even see.
I don't know about the energy, but it drives toxins, and I think this is low voltage stuff, so I don't think it would affect earthworms like a hand crank phone would, But it moves the it the toxins get bound to the soil, and this knocks them loose and gets them moving.
Wow. Wow. And are they using that on the Westlake landfill? Is this something that they're putting together in the Westlake landfill? Wouldn't that work there?
I doubt it. But what I've
oh,
in my
you
research,
mean because it's too big? You mean it's just too much? The contamination is just too much.
It's probably too, I don't think it's the contamination is too much at all. It's new technology. And I don't think the powers that are in control previously want to fix it.
Wow. Wow, that's a pretty deep statement. Obviously,
well,
they don't want to fix it
it's
because...
It's been here for 70 years.
Yeah.
You know, and they haven't
obvious.
Done anything.
Yeah.
But anyway, what's really cool about electrokinetics is that it could be used to stop the pollution from going in the water. Like I think it could be used at Fukushima too.
Like the 100,000, 300,000, the 1,000,000. I mean, the numbers that they tell us there, if we go by the 90% rule, it used to be they admitted to 300,000 tons. Now it's scaled back to 100,000. But if we use their thing, that means there's probably, if we use the 90% rule, meaning that they underreport it by 90%, they're probably dumping 1,000,000 gallons. I mean, who knows the number? So you're telling me they could use that on the water before it goes into the ocean?
I think so. They could
Wow.
direct the rads. They could direct the rads towards, you know, you have a positive and negative when you're working with electricity. And they could pull the rads, I think, before they went into the ocean.
Wow. Is this technology you think that they know about, or is this cutting edge technology?
I first learned about it through research, and I don't know. I've known about it for a long time. I don't remember where I learned it, but it was through research and studying environmental cleanup. It's not new technology. They've known about this.
Wow.
But anyway, so there's lots of things that'll clean up rads. You know, we can use plants to phytoremediate. You know, they'll absorb the toxins. And you can use the electrokinetics to drive the toxins to that area. And then when you're done, when you got this plant full of toxin, you can eliminate the rads with natural bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a while back, when I was talking with the EPA grant people and the SBIR offices, they kind of tricked me, and I messed up a little bit where I only said the microbe that ate the toxins was Geobacter. When I mm-hmm. should have said Geobacter and its cousins, because there's a few of them. You've had the Mid-America guy, Chuck,
yeah.
on your
Chuck
show before.
Heinemann. Yeah,
it's similar to his stuff,
uh-huh.
or it is the same microbe. You know, so I knew long ago that it worked through research, and then. You turned me on to Chuck, and I started following him and listening to his stuff, and I know it'll work. What I think we need is a combination approach.
Mm-hmm.
Use a bunch of things to make it faster.
So you use the phytoremediation with the electromagnetic, what do you call that? Electrokinetic.
KINETICS, wow. Electrokinetics.
I wonder if you could actually do that inside the human body when a person gets contaminated. I wonder if there's a way to drive it out with the electrokinetic that way also.
I was just reading Health Ranger. They just got approved for one of their patents that they've embedded something that removes cesium, I believe.
Cesium?
From a body. Cesium?
Yeah. Cesium. I saw that story earlier this week. I actually saw that. I didn't have a chance to actually look it up and see the... Did you check out all the links? Is that like a real story? Did it really work?
I don't know. Nope.
Yeah. Well, that's what I like to do. I like to look at the science. And I think I take advantage of it because I'm a student. So I can look at this and then look at the study they say they look at and find the study online. Because, I mean, isn't that the crazy part there, Scotty, is that students have access to scientific studies, but people out in the community do not. Something's wrong with that picture.
All I have to do is find the study. And there's paywall busters.
Yeah.
Like people that hide their stuff behind a paywall, there's paywall busters out there.
So there's ways to get in everywhere. Well, right, so tell us what you've been up to. Let me remind our listeners, when you first joined us, it was about maybe a year ago, year and a half ago, you were engaged in trying to figure out a way to phytoremediate the area of St. Louis. You had started a little startup company, was doing some grants, and that didn't work. And then you brought in the electromagnetic guy that worked with you, but still focused on St. Louis. But since then, your focus has actually changed now. You have plans to find foreign investors, correct? And take this to a different level on a bigger scale.
To the power of the internet, and because I'm involved with hemp, and I have some inventions, I've attracted some funding resources. I'm not going to jinx myself here and say that it'll work out yet, but things are looking promising. What I will do is I'll finance my own pilot studies to prove my system works. Mm-hmm. When I start making enough money that I have some left over, I will finance my own pilot studies, because that's what the regulations say. They got to have proof that it'll work before they'll let you do it.
Wow. Well, so tell us how this new system would work. Tell us what the idea is, because you've taken it in a different way than before. You were thinking about putting individual units on people's homes or in four homes at a time. How has the concept grown a little bit?
I'm still using the same concept because I had to design it to meet their regulations. One of the key things when you're dealing with nuclear waste and rads that they say is you have to keep it out of the food chain. So that means and that's food for animals, food for people. That's all of it. And so the way I figured out how to meet that most important obligation was to have the plants growing in a greenhouse. And then the electrokinetics drives the poison to the plants.
Huh. And how do you get it out of your body? The idea is to keep it from getting into the food so that we don't ingest it. So the idea is to start with the food supply
If you're just growing it out in, like, without the greenhouse, and you just got plants growing out in your yard or whatever, a bird can come along and eat a seed. A deer could come along and snack on things, and then we're killing them.
Right.
And that's not good.
Right.
You know, or they get sick and they go die somewhere, and because the rads never decay for millions of years, that wherever they died, you have a little pile of rads.
That's true. And the other thing is think about our farming process. When we talk about stopping it from getting in our food supply, even if you buy organic farmers grow out in the air and get rained on. And we know that the radioactivity comes down in the rain. I mean, you can
That
take your
is
Geiger counter and test your air, and it's pretty low most of the time, but do it right after it rains, and it's always higher.
That's where Chuck's system with his microbes would really be beneficial
Yes.
to us.
That's
So, I
true.
mean, you know,
If we could do that
that's
large
why
scale,
it.
wouldn't that be awesome if we could get that large scale, those products large scale on every mega farm in America? I
On the
mean,
whole country, yards. I'm talking yards everywhere. The whole country needs to turn loose their microbes.
That's
There
true.
are natural microbes in the ground that will do that.
Actually,
Chuck's
my
he,
friend Charlotte says that we need to grow, instead of putting grass on our yards, if we grew clover, we should grow clover and pour microbes on it because the clover digs deeper than commercial grass and it'll actually help the microbes that are deep in the earth. If we pour our microbes on, it reaches out to the microbes underneath the earth and it would create a healthier soil and the microbes would actually start multiplying if they knew we needed help up here, you know?
Right. The clover has a deeper root system.
Yeah.
But yes, I agree.
Well,
I
this
do
thing with
agree.
the cesium eliminator, I found the page that I have was looking at, and it's called cesiumeliminator.com, and it was written by the researcher, I think Mike Adams, and I think he runs Natural News. So some people call this a hoax, but you know what? It is. I don't know if it's a hoax. He says he has an eliminator efficacy and concentration where it can actually, if you take this product, it takes out. It's a proprietary formula. This is what he's talking about. It's like basically zeolites, seaweed extract, dehydrated seaweed, spirulina, and chlorella. Specific ratios, his own proprietary extract. But that kind of makes
Right.
me nervous ingesting seaweed, considering seaweed's, oh God, is affected by the radioactivity. I mean, this is kind of the gaslighting of it all. We don't even know who to trust or what to do anymore. It's like we know we're being poisoned, but which person do we trust to help us along? That's the big thing.
A long time ago, somebody emailed me and tried to get me to try something or advertise their product. And it said it would help with removing toxins from the body too. I never did accept it because it sounded kind of hokey at the time. You know, this is a couple of 3 years ago that this happened. And so I never did pursue it, and I never did really look into it, but I was like, man, if I had a child, I would feed it to them or whatever, because they're the ones that absorb and use those toxins more than a grown person.
That is the truth. That is really sadly the truth. And it's the weak children. I mean, I've said this repeatedly recently because I've been shocked, but I've had a nephew who is 11 years old, kind of a sickly child, recently had a heart attack. And he lives right on the West Coast, right in Seattle. So he's getting bombarded with Fukushima, Hanford, and the other contaminants that are going swirling around in the Northwest up there. And it does affect people, and people don't even want to discuss it. That's the sad part is we don't even, this is the hardest part about getting the remediation out into the world publicly, is people don't even want to discuss that there's an issue. You know, as soon as you say, well, it'll help remediate your soil, they're like, well, what's wrong with my soil? So it's super bizarre. So
It's
explain
like the
how your
EPA.
system works. So it sounds like you have your system pretty well developed. To explain how your system works to help remediate the soil and the area that you propose to put your product in.
It would work like, let me see, what's a good example? Like the electrical plugs in your house. Everywhere there's a plug, and let's envision all the plugs scattered out through your yard. Okay, everywhere there's a plug, there would be a metal stake in the ground, and then where the fuse box is would be located in the greenhouse. So the electric current goes from down a wire through the plugs in the yard, and then directs and then jolts the ground, and then the rads move to the fuse box.
And then what happens with the rads? But what happens to the rads?
The plants absorb the toxins.
Oh, wow. Wow. And then how do you know when the plants have hit maximum absorption? You keep them monitored every day?
You could do that. But I think at the end of the plant's life, you harvest it and you throw it in a digester. A plastic tank full of the same microbes that Chuck describes, the Geobacter, it's Geobacter and its cousins. They all got weird names. And they go to work on the rats. Mm. My research says that once they attack the rats, the end product can be disposed of in a regular landfill.
Wow. Really?
It won't. It eliminates the long-term storage that we all have to pay for.
Well, what could we do then if it's going to eliminate the long-term storage, couldn't we begin to massively plant big, huge fields of this and pour the rad waste that's in the storage, say in one tank, and find one site and use it as sort of an experimental site and just pour the storage tanks on the soil and let it absorb it? Would that work? Am I confused? Does that make sense?
No. Yeah. That could work. I feel for safety, it has to be done in some sort of containment area.
Yeah, in a controlled area.
All those bags of Fukushima soil over there sitting on the coast, they could draw with electrokinetics. They could pull all the rads to like a little bitty area, okay? And then just dispose of a little dirt. Or they could long-term store a little dirt instead of a whole one-ton bag. Or, wow. They could throw some plants on it and phytoremediate it.
Yeah. Well, they're planning on using that. The story broke last week that they're planning on just dispersing that to people in the area. They're going to just give it back out to people and tell them to use it in their garden to mix it up. That's their idea. The solution to pollution is dilution. So they plan on just mixing it up in areas that are not contaminated. And they're going to use it as product to build, like filler for building products and stuff like that. They plan on using it because they don't know what to do with it, except I'm shocked, Scotty, that this idea of phytoremediation, that they've never considered it. I've never heard them actually talk about it in Japan. Do we know if they actually know about it?
I'm sure they do.
Wow.
But they are too... What I've kind of learned about the Fukushima and the Japanese culture is that the people aren't allowed to speak out against their government. The people in control are being influenced by TEPCO people, very powerful industry, GE, Westinghouse, all of them. And they are proud people. They don't want to ask for help. Maybe they thought they could handle this, and they didn't want to ask for outside help, because a long time ago Russia offered to help them pay for the concrete dam instead of the ice wall.
Oh my God, really?
They didn't accept.
Wow.
I'm on a radio show.
Wow, that is amazing. Wow. I was not aware of that. I was not aware that Russia offered to pay for a concrete dam, because that's what they needed to do, is put in a concrete dam there. So there's tons of ideas that they're refusing to do. So I don't know. I don't know how you feel, but man, this really does begin to feel like it's intentional, that they're intentionally harming our planet with nuclear
Well, I've
pollution.
been reading about the New World Order stuff, and they think there's the population needs to be thinned down. It's some of the
Well,
info I've read, and you know whether that's a little hokey. I'm not gonna dive into that, but it kind of makes a little sense in some situations.
it's hard not to. It does begin to actually, when we look at what they're doing with the nuclear industry, and really just the way women and children are being used and abused. I mean, that whole system. I mean, I guess that's a topic for another show. But it's hard to think that that's just some crazy idea, because the actions of the people in power, especially in this nuclear industry. I mean, what they're proposing to do every across the board anywhere is just completely insanity. None of them have any really good solid ideas. It seems like they're suppressing the ideas that could work, like the phytoremediation. That works. We need microbes everywhere. That works. The electromagnetic, if you're telling me they know about it, why aren't they screaming it from the rooftops to have this put in place in every place? Good
I don't know.
question, huh? I know. Well, that's what I mean. It's hard to think that we're not, when I say in my intro that we're assets on a balance sheet, I think that's actually the fact. And I think we are their little lab rats. They're seeing how quickly they can just thin us down without us knowing. While we pay them, they get to kill us. That's their plan. Instead of us paying them, paying us to kill us, we get to pay them while they kill us.
The eye-opening thing for me was when I watched Bill Gates giving a TED talk, and he said the way to eliminate climate change is use an algebraic formula, and then climate change was on the left, and three things were on the right side of the equal sign. And he's like, the way to eliminate climate change is one of those things on the right side need to be zero. Anything times zero is zero. So, gonna eliminate population to reduce climate change. Ooh. He said that and the crowd cheered. I was like,
Right.
oh my God.
Well, I
They
think we
are
talked
idiots.
about this before the show. And I've said this. In fact, I argued with Chuck about it yesterday. I really believe the whole term climate change is just a fake. That's the cover up for nuclear pollution. Look at what's happened. The climate started dramatically changing when we started bombing the daylights out of our environment with nuclear bombs. That's when things started to really happen. And then on top of it, we just piled on. It became a free for all for the oil industry, the technology industry, the medical industry. They just dump all their stuff in the oceans and in the rivers. It all goes down the drain. They make no effort to filter it out. So we're definitely a little their little experiments on definitely on a balance sheet. So.
Hey, I got an emergency here. Got a car that's not starting, and oh my God, it's the end of the world.
Okay. Well, look, Scotty, if you feel like give me a call back, you have my
Okay.
number there that popped up. You can give us a call back. We're on for the next half hour. You go take care of your emergency and I'll deal with this here, and I'll talk to my listeners and maybe they can call
I
me
gave
in.
you I gave you my links to all that stuff.
Yes. Tell
You can
people what is the name of your website where people can
I
find you.
have to go, Lonnie. I have to
Okay.
go. Okay?
Well,
You have
okay.
all my links. You can
I
talk
do.
about it, read it, whatever. But I have to go.
Okay, Scotty, thank you for
Okay?
joining us. Please take care of yourself.
I will. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, that was a first for the Age of Fission radio show. Someone had an emergency they had to deal with. So let me do this. Let me take care of this and show you, tell you what his website is. It is really electro hemp. Let me see what this says. I want to say phytoremediation, but that's not it. He has had it's electrohemp.com. Let me find it. He did send me all of his links. It's called mohempenergy.com. Has a new website, and it is new. It's mohempenergy.blogspot.com. So if you guys want to find out about it, this is about the ElectroHemp BioRad Stage 5 treatment. And that he has a training pilot study going on effectively. So what he'll be doing, I hope to bring him back in about 6 months. He does have some projects that are kind of breaking that should be settled in about 6 months. So we'll have Scotty back on. I'm hoping in 6 months, maybe he can come back sooner than that. We talked about him coming back when things are settled. He has a new project. And this process of bioremediating the environment is very real for him. He's got a group of people around him who have looked for big funders. So he's hoping that something big will break. And when that happens, we're going to have him back on. I will reach out to him, see if he wants to finish this conversation, however. So the number, if anybody wants to call in and talk about anything you've heard here, is 718-717-8106. And actually, since that happened, let me go and take a look at the mass animal death, see if we had anything else. Well, I guess we haven't had any. We had 1 million-plus birds killed from avian flu. It's that old avian flu. They never, ever, ever say nuclear pollution. So the one thing that I do want us to think about is what we can actually do in our own communities in terms of us making a difference. And that means actively engaging with your city council, actively engaging with your political. I know that they're corrupt, but we have to push them. This is the hard part. Our elected officials are like battered wives. So they're not going to be leaving the system anytime soon. They don't see a way out for themselves. So they keep going along with the program and lying to everybody about it and lying to themselves. So I think it's up to us to keep reaching out to them, to talk to them, to encourage them to not just rubber stamp a budget that really promotes war, which is what our budgets do. Cleanup. I am very interested. I wanted to... Hanford workers. Let's talk about the Hanford workers 2017 and see if there's been any movement on that since the last few weeks ago. Because I guess March 5th was the last time. This to me is one of the most disgusting things that we have ever seen. And it is a bill that the Hanford workers are not being given adequate protective gear, and they end up getting sick. So now in Washington, there's a bill that would demand that the company actually provide protective gear to the workers in Washington. And if you can believe it, it's actually being fought. They're actually fighting it. A judge actually said they have to give them protective gear. Okay, so listen to this. This is the new one that came out of Olympia. Washington state lawmakers are considering a measure to help former nuclear site workers with certain illnesses receive needed care and compensation. The bill introduced by Richland Republican Larry Haler would grant a presumption of occupational illnesses for people who worked at Hanford, where the federal government produced plutonium for nuclear weapons 45 years. Production stopped in 1989. So production stopped in 1989, and since then it's been nothing but cover-up and lies. The presumptions are similar to those Washington granted to firefighters beginning in 1987. The illnesses covered at the Hanford bill include respiratory disease, heart problems experienced after an exposure to toxic chemicals, certain neurological diseases, and certain cancers. The Department of Energy, which owns Hanford, does not have a representative to testify at the hearing on the topic Thursday. Wow. And when was that? That was February. Well, this has to do with the Trump Nation, the Department of Energy, because the Trump Nation certainly plans on gutting the Department of Energy and the EPA. So let's see if Rick Perry got his. I didn't actually, I couldn't face it. Is Rick Perry head of DOE? I wonder, I don't know if they've appointed him. So let's see. January 18th, that's a story from January 18th. I don't think so. It does not look like he's been confirmed. So that's probably a good thing because Rick Perry has no interest at all in helping our planet. Let's see what this says. I'm trying to figure out. Yes, so it doesn't look like Rick Perry has been confirmed yet, and I think that's because he's so filthy that they don't dare even have a hearing for the guy. Rick Perry headed up one of the worst nuclear contamination spills in Texas, ended up on the board of the very same company that spilt the waste in Texas, and now he's going to head the DOE. An institution that he said he wanted to gut, or actually, he couldn't remember the name of the institution. I don't know. I don't know how you guys feel about this, but frankly, I'm sick of our government just pretending and lying and lying and lying. That's all they do is lie when we call up. But you know, the denial goes deep, just like my conversation yesterday with Chuck Johnson from Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility. I mean, he was very, he couldn't, he found it incredulous that I believe that climate change, so-called climate change, has been greatly affected and is continuing to be greatly affected by nuclear contamination. And for me, it's beyond comprehension that people aren't connecting that dot. I've been looking at this for 5 years now, and it's not that hard to see exactly what's happened. Overlay a map of nuclear contamination. Hold on, maybe that's Scotty with us. Hold on. Yay. Well, indeed, that was Scotty, but I didn't answer the phone call right, so I'm going to have to give him a call. So hold on just 1 second. I guess he took care of its emergency and he's back with us, which is really awesome. Except now I have to pull up his phone number. Do-do-do-do-do-do. So hold on. I guess this is where I should actually get a little tape going when I need to have like sound music going. Maybe I'll do that. Here we go. I'm glad that Scotty was able to take care of this and we can bring this conversation back. Here we go. All right. The middle of the day, a jinx in the middle of the radio show. We had something go up yesterday with Chuck also. So hopefully this will work.
Hello, Ms. Clark?
Hey, Scotty, I'm here. Well, please call me Lonnie.
Okay. Hello, Lonnie.
Hi.
Catastrophe averted.
Great, great.
We
Well,
got
welcome
it.
back. We're still live on the radio show. We have about, I don't know, 20 minutes left. So thanks for joining us. Thanks for calling us back.
No problem.
That
I
is
won.
super.
I believe in finishing what we started. Anyway, but we had she the roommate had to get her pregnant daughter to the doctor's office. And so I flagged somebody down the street and they gave me a jump.
Oh, good. So good.
Yeah.
So that worked
Good
out.
neighbors. Great neighbors.
Well, you know, that's the one thing that I have found about St. Louis is St. Louis really is the heart of America. Like, I've never gone there, but the people in St. Louis are very kind and committed people. Like, they are not giving up on St. Louis at all. They're digging in their heels. When we were talking earlier about these bills in the Senate, you know, the update on the Westlake landfill is there's currently moving through the Missouri legislature a bill to remove the Department of Energy and get the Army Corps of Engineers in going on it. And that's actually moving, that's moving through the House, isn't it?
I believe so. I'm not, I don't stay up on that because I'm working on my other projects. But I also think that there may be a buyout clause there to where then people won't have to be subject to the, to that toxic poison any longer. And I am all for that.
Yeah, there is a buyout at the local level. They are actually looking at a buyout, and it is actually moving through. It is moving through the legislature. But, you know, interestingly enough, the buyout area is a very small area, too. Like, it's, I think it's only the 1 mile area, right? 1 or 2 miles.
Unfortunately, it is too small because the Army records show contamination can move 15 miles.
Right. And not only that, and Don Chapman was talking about how before they discovered this problem, they used to let people go to the landfill and put it in their backyards as dirt fill.
Long, long ago.
Yeah, so who knows where it's at all over St. Louis.
Long, long ago, them guys hauling that stuff says, wow, this looks like good dirt. We're going to take it over here and use it in our yards. There's places in town that nobody even knows about.
Well, especially considering that radioactivity causes gigantism. So you get, like up in the potatoes, actually, the potatoes that are served at every McDonald's is grown at one of the most highly radioactive areas in our country, right next to Hanford. The reason they like it is the potatoes are big and gigantic.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes, and the government knew it was radioactive when they contracted with McDonald's. So all of McDonald's French fries come from that area.
Oh my!
Another reason never to go into McDonald's.
I don't like to eat there.
For my few listeners who are still addicted to the McDonald's flavor, but you know, there's some people.
So have you ever dropped a McDonald's French fry and it stayed under your seat? Or
forever.
Under your car seat forever, and you pull it out and it still looks the same, something is wrong.
That's right.
That's something right. Something is wrong.
That's right.
Because it should deteriorate.
We've seen those science experiments where they actually take a picture and follow it for 2 years, you know, and it doesn't even mold after 2 years. It's quite disgusting.
No.
Well, Scotty, I'm very excited that you are moving forward with this idea on your electro hemp thing, because I think if we can get that into the mainstream, you are genuinely pursuing this on a business level in an effort to make this more widespread, correct?
Well, after a pilot study, and we can test the system, improve the system, and this and that and the other, and then we have some actual results. I want to share this with the world, open source it to the world. And, well, we are kind of doing that right now because whether you've mentioned the websites and links and stuff, I'll share.
Well, why don't you mention them again in case I got them wrong? Why don't you tell them where they can find you and what the links are?
Okay. I'm going to mention. All right, we got that was okay. We have bit.ly/electrohemp pilot study is one link. I'm digging out my notes. Oh, I gave you the... Okay.
You gave me quite a few notes, and I went to them and read them, but I wasn't quite sure if I read them right.
And then there's one, bit.ly/electrohemppitch. We'll post these links after the show and stuff for everybody where they can follow them easier. And I explain it the best I can. And I don't use I take their scientific jargon and put it into normal everyday language, okay, when I can. Some things I can't, you know, but for the most part, it's written in everyday language for us because we're not scientists. I get that. I'm not a scientist either. And through all this research I've done, that was one of the hardest things that I had to figure out was their terminology. And I remember one day looking up a word, bio, whatever it was. It was basically baking soda. You know, if it's damn baking soda, call it baking soda. You know, leave out the scientific name. You know, it took me a half an hour to run down a word.
Yeah, and I get
that's why people don't trust scientists, I think.
Yeah.
It's because they don't write in everyday language. You
well, not only that, scientists are compromised. That's why people don't trust them. If scientists weren't compromised, we wouldn't be having the nuclear contamination in St. Louis and in every single city across America. Because scientifically, we have been told that it's dangerous, but then we have a whole other gang of a whole other army of scientists who take a paycheck to convince us that it's not that harmful.
Right.
So it's not like we have truth on one side and disinformation on another, and the scientists are on the right side of the. It's kind of like this conversation about climate change, right? The climate changers are. I mean, they get pretty immediately, they're quite visceral. They're very angry when you even think about mentioning that nuclear pollution has a big hand in causing climate change, you know, and or whatever you want to call that. I don't know, the shrinking right. of our environment. I don't know. Like, I mean, it's a collapse of our natural environment at the hands of human activity. That's the argument that people who don't believe in it don't believe that human had any hand in causing the catastrophic events that are going on the planet. Okay.
NASA just came out and said there's aliens. They've been talking to them for a long time. The aliens aren't happy with our human race mostly because of the atomic weapons. And I read that right off a NASA website. They were like, yeah, we've been talking with aliens for years. You didn't know? Oh, yeah. I was like, you're lying. Burgers.
Well, who knows if they've been talking to them for a long time or not? That's the thing. Like, this is the thing. We have so many avenues of misinformation, and they know it's we're being gaslit. They're not going to tell us about the aliens or any if they have had alien contact. They're not going to. I mean, at this point with the nuclear contamination, I personally am beginning to wonder if the aliens don't have a value or a reason to want it. I mean, I just don't get it. I don't get how that can happen.
I don't think they like it.
I don't know.
I'm not jumping on the alien bandwagon yet. You know, I'm researching, and you know, proof will be in the pudding when I see one someday.
I'm with you on that. That's where I'm at. Like, you know what? Like, it's all a great idea, but no.
I'm not gonna say that if this outer space that they talk about, that it's so vast that there couldn't be something else out there. I can't say that. I can be on the fence on this one, you know. I can say, yeah, it's probable. There's lots of things out there. They haven't discovered everything. Or they're lying to us about some things.
But in the meantime, you know, this is the key here, really. This is why I appreciate your efforts, because you're sort of sticking to the point. In the meantime, we have a major catastrophe that's destroying our planet.
Mankind has to save ourselves, because the government is not going to. Mankind has to save ourselves because the government is not going to. We are, like you mentioned, we are an asset or whatever to them. and they think, I believe they think we've outrun our lifespan.
Our
And so now they're trying to cull people back.
We're useless feeders now. Is that the issue
right.
for them?
They got enough money. They got enough. The people in control, they're really greedy and powerful. They have enough money now. They think they can do whatever they need. They don't need us to prop up their bank accounts anymore.
Well,
I don't know. Maybe they're just evil. I don't know.
Maybe that's where I'm with you on this one, Scotty, because this is the thing. If they're really that smart, they're really doing it completely backwards. That's the issue. Because they can't be, it doesn't seem like they're that smart, because they have caused a lot of harm, and they continue not only for the community, but for themselves, for their own families.
I researched the Pizzagate and the Pedogate things. It says one third of the U.S. politicians are involved in that. And that's where a lot of these kids are going. I've heard the Podesta emails, or I've seen the Podesta voice comparisons and stuff like that. And they are abusing kids. And these are the same people that are in control of our government. And if they're abusing kids, they are evil. And if
look, it's not even just the people in control of our government. I mean, that's another whole show. I'm a survivor of severe child abuse. And I know a lot about this and the system. Let me just put it to you this way. The system itself protects child abusers, period. Along
and that
the way.
Is so wrong.
Every
so wrong.
From the very get-go to the very end. It's just like the system protects the cops who kill innocent people. On Tuesday, I had Mimi Gurman here talking about Quince Hayes here in Portland, a 17-year-old kid who was shot in the head for no reason because he was hiding from the cops because he was afraid of them. He did nothing, but he was just afraid. And as he was crawling out, he didn't follow orders correctly, and they shot him in the head. He did nothing wrong, nothing. He was a good student. He was a good person. So the whole system is, and that cop got off free. The system said he was doing what he should have done. So we have a system that is completely ass backwards, if you ask me. It does not protect children. It does not protect people of color. It does not protect women. We have a child. We have an abuser as president. He divorced his first or second wife, Marla. She had big chunks of her hair. It was in the newspaper. Less than a year ago, we had a audio tape of him bragging about assaulting women. That's our president. Our vice president believes we need to reprogram gay people. So, look, it's not Clinton and Podesta. It's the whole goddamn system is off. And the basis, in my view, this is why I'm here, is the constant lies. Like, the nuclear thing is the pinnacle to me of how ridiculous the lies have begun, because this is affecting everything in our environment. Nobody is untouched by nuclear pollution.
That's right. And that's scary. And that's why I'll share with the world my stuff, you know, but really Chuck's thing is better and cheaper. You know, it takes a while for all these microbes to find the rads, to attack the rads and stuff like that. That's why, like in a yard or in the earth, where the electrokinetics would speed things up. And this is why I'm saying a combo approach. You know, we go at it with a few things. We go at it with microbes.
That's right.
We go at it with electrokinetics, and we go at it with plants.
And I'll tell you what, like my experience with the microbes, I bought a gallon of that stuff from him, and I foolishly in December left it out in the freezing when it got frozen, and I called him. He's like, yeah, you've killed the microbes. And right. I thought, well, heck, I mean, I had like, I'd only put on one treatment. I bought a whole gallon of this stuff, and I'd only put on one treatment on my 9x9 garden, right? So I thought, I'm not going to waste this before. So I have continued about every 3-4 weeks now. I think it's been like twice. I just put on another treatment. The microbes, I believe the microbes all did not get killed. Maybe a
They
good
might not
portion
have.
of them did, because my plants, oh my gosh, they like doubled in size. They grew like my, I actually grew lettuce. I've grown lettuce through the winter. And so my lettuce heads doubled in size when I started, when I put it on the first time. And when I put it with each one, I just did another treatment last weekend. Each time I put a treatment on, the plants have doubled, which tells me that the, it's not just nutrients. I think it's the microbes. It is really, microbes are the most amazing things in the world. I mean, honestly, they're so amazing how they work. And that's why I think it's fascinating what you're doing, because you're using the microbes plus the electromagnetism.
Kinetics.
Yeah, the electrokinetics. Yeah. To drive that out and sort of direct it where you want to go.
Right. Because we can't have, we can't, yeah, it has to, wherever, if you concentrate those rads in a spot in the yard, that, and it's people or animals aren't protected from that, or in a field or wherever, we are, you're boosting the radiation in that area. You know, there, at a minimum, there should be a fence around it, you know, but a fence ain't going to stop a bird, and a deer can jump a fence, you know? So it's gotta be a greenhouse. Anyway, another reason for the greenhouse is there are lots of plants that will phytoremediate the soil, not just hemp. You know, there's tobacco will, there's some root crops. Anyway, by having a greenhouse, you can rotate plants per the season, like a cold weather plant, like a root plant, like a radish, would phytoremediate during the winter better than, say, an above ground plant would.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's, by having greenhouses, you can rotate plants all year long.
So keep your greenhouse up even in the summertime.
Even in the wintertime. Anything will grow
in the
summertime.
Well, in the wintertime, we need to have a greenhouse. But in the summertime, do we keep our greenhouse up?
You keep it up. Through another study, the electrokinetics will drive the toxins about an inch a day or an inch a week, inch a month, I don't remember that exact number. But it would take a couple 3 years to go 200 feet.
Wow. Well, still, that's better than nothing. That's still great.
Right, right.
I mean,
and what I,
considering what,
I think,
we've been doing.
What I think is that when they're in this electronic pool, is that they wouldn't be, they're going to be like under a magnet. So they couldn't,
wow.
I hope they won't become airborne then. Or
wow.
Go into the water supply or whatever.
Hey, Scotty, you know, I need to cut us off. We've got 20 seconds left. I want to thank you for joining us. I hope that you can come back. And thank you for taking care of the emergency and coming back. You've been listening to Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission with Scotty from mohemp.blogspot.com. And thanks for joining us.
Skateboard.